Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is, by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Almighty has shined his mercy upon us to bring us to another week, bringing you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, and this is what I will do. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the house of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing you nothing but the truth. And I praise Almighty Yah for allowing us to bring you His truth. And what is the truth? Well, according to the scriptures, the law is the truth. And this is why we emphasize the various laws that the Creator has given us, that we all might live under His truth. The Creator lets us know that truth and justice will return to the earth. And so His servant is obligated, is commanded, and is set up to bring you the truth of Yah. And who is this Yah that we will bring His word unto you? Well, this Yah is the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know of as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our King. He's our lawgiver. He's our judge. He's our Savior. And not just of Israel, but the world. And so we're going to bring to you another volume of Yah's Word. This week, we will be dealing with the cultural ID of our people, the cultural identity of our people. You might want to know what that is. See, every people, every culture, every race, everybody has something about them that make them diverse, different, unique than everybody else. And Israel have that as well. Of course, the greatest thing we have that's more unique than anybody else is the Creator's laws, statutes, and judgment. As a matter of fact, we have the only Elohim, the only one that created all things. Just show you how unique our people was, no matter where they were on the earth. You read this in the book of Esther. Let us turn there. In the book of Esther, and while I'm turning there, let me say shalom to my beautiful brothers and sisters that continuously listen in to our programs. We know the only reason why you are listening in, it is because of your fear towards Elohim. And we praise the mighty Yah for your presence. And we pray that you will be edified by the word of Yah. In the book of Esther, and I think it's going to be the third chapter of Esther. And I just want you to see this so you can understand what we will be dealing with this week. And I'm going to start reading one second. Esther, the third chapter, and I'm going to start reading at the eighth verse, and this is what it says. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's law. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them, meaning to allow them to do this. And why? Because their laws were different than all the people in the provinces. Everybody kept the king's law. Everybody knew one another's customs. But the Israelites, theirs was just totally unique and diverse from everybody. And really, this is true today. The only difference between today and then is that the Israelites today that are scattered abroad don't know, for the mass majority of them don't know who they are. Therefore, the scriptures say our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But Israel do have an identity, an ID, that is different from everybody else. And that is more unique than everybody else. And we're going to start dealing with this week. And the first thing that one must begin learning is what is recorded in the book of Jeremiah 29. This is what the Creator said to our people, even when in captivity. And let me show you this. Jeremiah 29, because we're dealing with the cultural identity, the cultural ID of our people, Yah's people. And this is what it says in the book of Jeremiah 29. And we're going to show you the first thing, in the first place, and the chief thing that you have to put your mind to in order for you to know who we are as a people. The very first thing it says, Jeremiah 29, verse 4, thus is Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. And watch what the Creator had to say about what we are supposed to be doing. Very first thing, number one, build ye houses and dwell in them. Most people think when it says build ye houses, it's just talking about a house, a literal house. Well, it's not just talking about a literal house, because many of our fathers lived in tents. But when the scriptures say build ye houses, that's just more than some built out of brick and stone and wood. It's way more than that. And we're going to show you that so you can understand where our mind should be. Then the second thing it says, plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Of course, we have to have a food source, and our food source should not be the enemy's food. Surely, if they are enemies, they don't have our best interests. The only one that has your best interest, and the only one that should have your best interest, is your own. Of course, today, our people have become enemies of one another. Why do you think our people are murdering each other on the streets? And why do you think our people consistently, constantly talebear, slander, vex, and trouble one another? These are things that we These are things that are not the makeup of our cultural ID. Furthermore, third thing, take ye wives and beget sons and daughters. And this is something also that our community is lacking. We have a lot of our women having babies, but where are their husbands? Anybody can have a baby. Anybody can plant seed into a woman, but who have the courage, the strength, and the righteous cultural identity to marry the woman that he has chosen to have children with and then take care of her and provide for her? These are the things that we have to bring to our people. Number four, not only take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, you're supposed to take wives for your sons and your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased and not diminished. So the fourth thing is having sons and daughters. And the fifth thing, if you have sons and daughters, that's a possibility, a great possibility, that you will have great-grandchildren. That's how you increase. Who want to diminish? Who would tell their kids, well, don't worry about no children? No, you do want to have children. And you want your children to have children. Furthermore, and I may add that three is taking wives, four is having your children, five is your children's children, six, seeking the peace of the city. Now, why do you want to do that? Watch the seventh verse. And give me 1 second. I want to recount this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. In the seventh verse, and I'm going to recount it for you. In the seventh verse, it says, and seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto Yah for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. So, even in our captivity, we should be praying for peace. Even in our captivity, we should be praying for the peace of our cities. And even in captivity, we should be building. And for some strange reason, we have allowed ourselves to not build for ourselves and one another, but we have been building for other people. And yes, this is a curse. But the Creator told us once the blessing as well as the curse come to our mind and we bethink ourselves and we turn to Yah, then He will have compassion on us and He will turn our captivity. And we're still in captivity. And as long as we in captivity, this applies. It applied to the captives in Babylon. So why wouldn't it apply to the captives in modern Babylon? And the very first thing it says is build ye houses. Now, most people don't know what a house is, so we're going to break down what a house is so you can understand. This is not just merely some dwelling. It's more than a dwelling. Well, let me just show you this real quick. Right before I show you that, the scriptures say, let every matter be established by two or more witnesses. Watch what it says in Deuteronomy so you won't think this is just captivity. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter. In the book of Deuteronomy 20, this is what it says. Let's get right to it. Starting at the first verse. When thou goest out to battle against thy enemies and seest horses, chariots, and people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for Yahweh Elohim is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come near unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto the battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For Yah your Elohim is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. Now watch this. And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, what man is there that have built a new house and have not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in a battle and another man dedicate it. So I told you the house is the very first thing we have to concern ourselves with. And you're going to see a house is not just some building. Number two, and what man is he that have planted a vineyard and have not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in a battle and another man eat of it. Number three, and what man is there that have betrothed a wife and have not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in a battle and another man take her. So as you can see, it has the same order. And of course, in Jeremiah 29, it'll continue on with having your sons and daughters and them having children so that they won't be decreased. And then also seeking the peace of the city and praying for it. A lot of people pray, but they don't seek the peace. And you got to seek the peace and pray for it. You seek the peace by trying to stay away from all the various troubles that will vex and bring down a city. So these are the things that we have to learn. But the very first thing is this house. Building this house and just show you what a house is so you can understand what we are to build. In the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter. Now, why we start here? Because according to the scriptures, the scriptures say, look unto the rock from whence you are hewn, and the hole of the pit in which you are dead. And so once we look under that rock, once you look into that pit, you're only going to find Abraham and Sarah. This is where it begins. And this is where we will begin. And this is what it says. Genesis, the 12th chapter. And again, what are we discussing? We're discussing the cultural ID of our people. An ID is how you can recognize a people and what are they known for and what is their identity. One can say, well, our identity is the laws, the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments. And this is true. But the laws, the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments of the Most High produce culture. It produces culture. That's why we wear certain things. That's why we do certain things. That's why we eat certain things. And these are the things that we need to learn. So, for instance, the very first verse, Genesis 12. Now, Yah had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And why all the families? Because there's going to come a time where the Almighty is going to destroy all the nations that came against us, Israel. And there's going to come a time where nations will be reduced to mere families. They'll just be families in the earth. And there is no greater family than the family of Abraham. It starts with him. And the Almighty said, blessed be all those that bless this family. So the very first thing we must understand about a house is that a house is not just a building. A house really is a family. That's why he said, get thee from thy father's house to establish your house and to establish the house of your family. Sometimes you have to take great measures in separating yourself for all those who are like-minded together. And sometimes you have to stick it out. And we're going to show you how you would know which one to do. Just to show you a few things, let me show you Abraham's family. Go to the book of Genesis 14. Just so you can see this and you can understand what I mean. In the book of Genesis 14, watch what it says. 12 verse. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And they came one that has escaped, and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, brother of Abner. And these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servant, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Now, this was Abraham's house, and he had 318 trained servants. This don't even sound like a house. This sounds like a some type of corporation. But today, if you want to read about, if you want to know how many employees they have in a corporation, that's what they'll say. Some of the Fortune 500 corporations. This is the type of how many employees they have working for them. But this was just Abraham's family. And you notice his servants were trained. They was trained in war. They was trained in the Mosiah, and I'm going to show you that. They were trained in every way that a family should be trained to be self-reliant so that they won't be dependent on anyone else. Let me show you what I mean. In the book of Genesis 18, watch what it says. Now, at this time in Genesis 15, Abraham didn't even have a son. But in Genesis 18, watch what it says. In the book of Genesis 18, I'm going to start reading at the 17th verse. And it says, and Yah said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in, and Yah had already told us that. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of Yah to do justice and judgment, that Yahweh may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So here we see that not only did he have 318 trained servants, but he also trained his children and his household in the way of Yah. And how can this be done if we're sending our households out to other people to train them, to teach them, and really to deceive them? We have all the tools and all the resources to train our own, to teach our own, to show our own. But we have adopted the cultural identity of other people rather than our own. And we have to turn this train around. Anytime we send our greatest out to be trained by the centers of higher education in other people's communities, they turn them into football players and basketball players and baseball players, and then that's all they become. And we think that's good. And no, that's not good at all. The life expectancy or career expectancy of, like, let's take a football player. It's like 3 to 5 years. Don't be fooled because you see a few players play for 10 years and 9 years. That's not the norm. It's way shorter than that. Don't look at the basketball players like LeBron, who's playing over 10 years and 11, 12, 13 years. No, that's not the norm. It's way shorter than that. And then when they come out, their lifestyle is greatly diminished. Most of them go broke. But then they have all kind of physical ailments that you don't, who want to live like that? You have no happiness in life because you're always sick and hurt. But not so with Abraham. He had trained servants, and he trained his children in Yah. And none of his family members went anywhere. They were all together. And why? Because they were a family. And why? Because the scripture says, bless those that bless thee, and curse those that curse thee. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed in him. So his servants and the people in his house look like, man, if I go somewhere else, where I'm going to get my blessings is in Abraham's house. So why would I leave there? Today, we have children in our own home. They can't wait to leave the home. And that's where their blessing is. And likewise, we couldn't leave our homes, and it might have been where our blessing was. It's not always the case, though, but we have to turn the tables of the cycle of despair in our own community. And why? Because we, right now, are not exemplifying the cultural identity of our people. Just to show you an example of the type of mind we have today, because the scripture says there's nothing new under the sun. Go to the book of Genesis, the 4th chapter. In the book of Genesis, the 4th chapter, this is what it says, starting at the 2nd verse. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought up the fruit of the ground and offering unto Yah. And Abel, he also brought up the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Yahweh had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And Yahweh said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire. And thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Now the 9th verse is the point that I want you to get. And Yahweh said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, who would say that to Yah? But a fool, but the wicked, and but somebody who deserved to be cursed. This is the first time we've seen somebody cursed with leprosy. And how do we know it was leprosy? Because Yahweh will ban this man from him to the extent that Yahweh made him a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth and put a mark on him, lest anybody seeing him, they wouldn't kill him, because they know this curse is from Yahweh. And so everybody would have seen him, they would have just slayed him. But Yah said, don't slay him. And he put a mark on him just so they won't slay him. But am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you your brother's keeper. You are your brother's keeper. Even if we don't agree on things, you still your brother's keeper. You don't let nobody do harm to your brother, and you don't supposed to do harm to your brother. Why? Because a house is a family, and a family is a house. And when you're a family, A family, a true family, is supposed to stick together in good times and bad times. That's what a family is supposed to do. And righteous families do this. Let me show you this in the book of Genesis, the 28th chapter. Just show you this. Excuse me. And watch this in the book of Genesis 28. And we're going to start at the first verse. Just show you how families stick together. And Isaac called Jacob, blessed him, and charged him, and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Watch this. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, my mother's brother. And Elohim Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which Elohim gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, the son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. So they went right to their mother's house. And not only them, go to the book of Genesis 24. That's what Isaac did with Jacob. But what did Abraham do with Isaac? In the book of Genesis 24, this is what it says. And what are we discussing? We're discussing first about building houses. And what is a house? Well, a house is a family. Let me show you this. Genesis 24 and 1. And Abraham was old, well stricken in age. Yahweh had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his elder servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by Yahweh, the Elohim of heaven, the Elohim of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son or the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. Just because you dwell with the enemy, that don't mean you have to marry them. You don't have to eat with them. You don't have to do all the things they do, eat what they eat, drink what they drink. You don't have to do that. You have a cultural identity, can show that you're different than everybody else. Watch what it says. Fourth verse. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, take a wife unto my son. This is what family is all about. People thought just because Abraham separated himself, and it's good to separate yourself, because everybody in that family did not have the same mind as Abraham. Don't believe these other books. where we had Abraham worshiping the moon and the sun, and he thought they were Elohim and all kind of other stuff. They have Sarah learning that Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, and as a result of that, she had a heart attack. Don't believe any of these things. The scriptures let you know Abraham sent his son right back to the family, right back to the kindred in which he came from. Because this is what family is all about. This is what it means to build a house. And we build in dwellings, but we're not building a family. We got buildings, but we have no community. All of us live in some type of building. But where is our community where we can demonstrate, where we can show forth our cultural ID? Watch what it says. Let's see what Jacob did in the book of Genesis 30 and 30. And watch what it says. And we'll start at 29. Well, let's start at 25. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I may go unto my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that Yahweh have blessed me for thy sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hast before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude. And Yahweh have blessed thee since my coming. And now, when shall I provide for my own house also? And so Jacob knew it was time for him to take care of his own and to chart his own way and his own path. And the only reason why is because he knew that his father-in-law countenance was changing toward him, number one, and he already been cheating. And number two, he knew that the Creator was sending him into a different direction. And we have to have this type of relationship with the Most High so we can understand what he's doing with us. I know you want to stay around and be around all your in-laws and your parents. But then some parents, they will leave you alone and let you chart your own path. As a matter of fact, they'll help you. But then you have some parents, all they want to do is vex you and talk about your way of life and talk about what you're doing and criticize you. And as a matter of fact, make it difficult for you to practice the things that you believe in. Some Israelites have it so difficult with their parents. A person that practiced homosexuality will have it easier. They would accept that more than an Israelite who want to practice being who he is. And I'm telling you, we have to practice our cultural ID, our cultural identity. And what is our cultural identity? Well, the first thing and the chief thing is learning how to build a house. And you build a house by learning what a house is. A house is a family. That's what a house is. Most of Abraham's life, he lived in a tent. But he is the beginning, the chief of starting this very blessed family. Watch what else it says about our father Jacob in the book of Exodus, the first chapter. And I may add this don't have to be lip service for many people. You just have to have the courage to do the right thing. You have to have the courage to practice your cultural identity. What did Abraham do? He had the courage enough to believe in the Most High, and he separated himself. And once he separated himself, then he didn't have to worry about distractions from outside because he separated himself. Number two, once he separated himself, what did he do? He began to train his family, and his family was his servants because he didn't even have no children at the beginning. But he began to train his servants as well as his children in everything, and especially in the Most High. Here today, we letting our children just go to the basketball court, in the football field, in the baseball field, and tennis courts. And now we want to train our children how to cook and how to hunt and how to fish. We want to train them how to sew. We want to train them how to build, how to become entrepreneurs. The world is not going to train them like that. The world is going to train them how to be a slave, because that's how we were trained. We were trained to be a slave. And so what did we do when we finished school? We went out there and got a job. And what do you think a slave would do? Go out there and get a job and work for somebody else and make somebody else rich and take the low wages that they offer you, and you'll take it gladly. But not so with the family of Abraham. He charted his own way through the Most High, and he trained his own family. This is the beginning. This is the chief way of building a house. Exodus, the first chapter, this is what it says in the first verse. Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob. They didn't have to do that. His sons could have went their own way and started their own thing. This is what the Gentiles did. I'm going to show you that. And then it lets you know, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Yehuda, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin. And of course, if Yosef was not already in Egypt, he would be placed right between Zebulun and Benjamin. Then Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. This is the correct order, with the exception of Yosef is not inserted between Zebulun and Benjamin, of the children of Israel. But if you look on the internet, that's not the order they have. You also find this order, if you want to see it, in the book of Genesis. Just to show you this, because we're going to be dealing with this also. 35. And watch what it says. in the 22nd verse. And it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land that rumor went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, Simeon, Levi, and Yehuda, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel. And of course, that's the first five, the sons of Rachel. Yosef and Benjamin, or that's the first six, rather, I apologize. And then Yosef and Benjamin, which is 7 and 8. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali, which is 9 and 10. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him in Padan Aram. And of course, these are the 12 tribes of Israel. Going back to the 5th verse of Exodus, the first chapter, and watch what it says. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Yosef was in Egypt already. And Yosef died, and all his brother, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. So Jacob took his whole family into Egypt. And so when Jacob traveled, his family traveled with him. Where he went, they went. Where he stayed, they stayed. Because this is what a family do. But today, we have lost our cultural identity. But there's Israelites today that can restore the cultural identity of our people. And this is what we want to do. Just to show you about a house, go to the book of Psalms 27. I may add, why do you think all over the scriptures we're called the house of Israel? The house of Israel is no building. The house of Israel is a family. And as I stated before, we have to get back to the business of family. And it starts with at the beginning, and that's building the house. And you build a house with people, individuals. That's how you build a house. In Psalm 27, start at the very first verse, and this is what it says. Yah is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yah is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. See, this is the thing. Our fears, many of our fears and our vexations and troubles all stem from our lack of confidence in the Most High. If you know you have a little child that you know you can beat, no matter what this child do, you already know you're stronger than him. You know you'll win. And you know that unless some divine intervention take place, you can subdue this child. So you're confident. Well, David was confident against his enemies. He was a confidence against trouble. He was confidence against anyone that will come against him. And watch what it says again. I just want you to see this, because it's going to tell you why he was so confident. Yah is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? In other words, you don't want to fear doctors who tell you, look, you only got a certain amount of time to live. I just found the tumor and it's cancerous. Or I just seen something in your brain. Or I just found out that I got to do this and I got to do this and I got to cut this and I got to cut that. And if we don't get your heart repaired right now, you're going to don't fear nothing they got to say. They don't control life and death. Yah is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Don't be afraid of the words of these people. When the wicked, even my enemies, because that's who the wicked is, and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and failed. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. And what is his confidence? One thing have I desired of Yah, that I will seek after. Just this one thing he desired, that I may dwell in the house of Yah all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yah and to inquire in his temple. See, that's the difference between our house and everybody else's house. In our house, we have Yahweh. Because our house is Yahweh's house. Why do you think Abraham had 318 trained servants? What do you think he was trained on men? Why do you think it says he will teach and raise his children to know Yah, and they will actually follow it? Because Abraham trained them in Yah. And how can you train your family in Yah, but 7, 8, 9 hours a day, you sending them off to other people to teach them and train them? This is not our cultural identity. And not only are you doing that, but you also going out yourself 10, 11, 12 hours away from your children to try to make ends meet. And after 12 hours, you still trying to make ends meet. At some point in time, this gerbil on the wheel got to stop. The gerbil just keep going around and around and around and around, but he's still in the cage and he ain't went nowhere. The dog can chase his tail around and around and around, but he never catch it. And this is what we doing. We won't do nothing new, because we told that we're cursed. But Yahweh said, when the blessing and the curse come to mind, and we bethink ourselves. And when will we bethink ourselves? That surely we can build if we turn to Yah. And what is the first thing we're supposed to build? Our house. That's the very first thing we're supposed to do. This is what David did. shows you something else, what he did. In the book of Psalms 23. In the book of Psalms 23, very short psalm, but I just want you to pay close attention to the very words that this psalm highlights. Watch what it says. Yah is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And watch what he says. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of Yahweh for how long? Forever. And if you want to dwell in the house of Yah forever, then you have to be about the same thing Yahweh is about. Yahweh is about family. You know he's about family because why you think recall the house of Israel? Because a house is a family. That's what a house is. As I stated to you earlier, all these various nations will be reduced to mere families. Watch what Yahweh say in the book of Amos, the third chapter. Amos, the third chapter, the very first verse. Hear this word that Yahweh has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. See, we're the only family that Yahweh has ever known, which merely means we're the only family that Yahweh chose to deal with. We're the only family that he gave his word to. We're the only family that he instructed. We're the only family that he gave us laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments and covenants in which shows and demonstrates and dictates our cultural identity. All we have to do is open up our eyes and see, and we will see our culture right before us. For instance, just to show you an example of the culture that I'm talking about, go to the book of Isaiah real quick. Isaiah, the 28:9 verse. And this is what it says. Listen closely, because we're talking about our cultural identity. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? And watch this. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Because this is something we do. We're not like other people where we just put a bottle in our children's mouth Oh, that's what heathens do. That's what other people do. That's their way. But not only we begin to teach them and give them knowledge. And what is doctrine? Doctrine are things that are written down for you and I to know for the ages. That's why you write them down. And our people, when it comes to doctrine, they will rather read these other books that is not our doctrine instead of the book that is our doctrine. This is our doctrine. So not only this teaching us our cultural identity that we're supposed to breastfeed our children, but it's telling us when to teach them. When they're drone, what do it say? When they wean from the milk and drawn from the breast. In other words, what they're supposed to drink, how they're supposed to be nourished, and when do you start teaching them? Now, this is how you're supposed to teach them. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. This is how we're supposed to teach the doctrine that we're supposed to teach them when they are weaned from the milk. Matter of fact, we send our babies out to daycares well before they even are drawn from the breast. Even in ancient times, the Egyptians called for the mother of Moses when they found him in a river for her to wean, for her to breastfeed her own baby, and then give it to the Egyptians. And they knew they had that much sense, but we don't. Hannah said, I'll go up to Jerusalem and give my son, Samuel, who I lent to the Most High, after he is weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Because this is our cultural identity. This is. Another example of our cultural identity is in the book of Leviticus. Just to show you this, because this is all you're going to read about in the book of Leviticus, and it's around the, let's say Leviticus, the 13th chapter. And watch the 29th verse, Leviticus 13 and 29. And what are we discussing? Our cultural identity. It says, if a man or woman have a plague upon the head or the beard. Now, why would it just assume that you have something upon a beard? You may not have a beard, but Israel had beard. This is our cultural identity. We had beards. Of course, we had Israelites walking around here without beards, but the only reason they're doing this is because they're trying to appeal to their enemies. Now, I don't care if you cut it low and all that type of stuff. That's fine. But not to have a beard at all, something wrong with that. As an Israelite, I understand we had jobs and we in slavery. Daniel, he didn't appeal to his enemies. He appealed to the Most High. And this is what we have to do. And why? Because this is just our identity. And the same book of Leviticus, watch this, in the 47th verse. And all through the scriptures, this is what you will read. The garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be woolen garment or linen garment, or whether it be in the warp or the woof, or linen or woolen, whether in skin or anything made of skin. In other words, there are things that we had that was made of certain skin, but for the most part, all the scriptures talk about when it's dealing with garments, especially fabrics, the vast majority of the scriptures is just dealing with linen and woolen. This is what our people wore. This is what a priest wore. This is what the angels wore. So what do you think we should wear if we are practicing our own cultural identity? And where do the linen come from? Well, it comes from the flaxseed. That's where it comes from. And where do the woolen come from? Well, it comes from the sheep. And these are the things that, and of course, you will read about silk. And when they talk about silk, typically, that's what women wore. Of course, today, our men wear more silk than linen, more silk than wool. Silk is their fabric, even more than women. But our people wore linen and woolen. Now, I'm not saying that's all you have to wear. I'm just showing you examples of our cultural identity so you can understand when I'm pointing out scriptures concerning our house that you would know that's talking about your family. That's talking about your family. And this is the very first thing that we should be attempting to build. And why? Because this is our cultural identity. This was make us different and unique from all the people on the earth. Everybody has theirs, and we should practice ours. Furthermore, watch what it says. Another cultural identity of our people. In the book of Deuteronomy, in the book of Deuteronomy 14, watch what this says. And remember what makes up our cultural identity. It is our laws. It is our commandments. It's our statutes. It's our judgments. It's our testimonies which make up our cultural identity. So, for instance, in the book of Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, the very first verse, it says, "Ye are the children of Yah your Elohim. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art a holy people unto Yah, thy Elohim. And Yah have chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the face of the earth." See, in other words, we're not to cut ourselves. We're not to tattoo ourselves. And it is true. We got tattoos. We don't cut ourselves. We done did all these things. But you don't have to pass these things down to your children. You can take them back. You can take them back. And take them back and say, look, now I'm going to be the Hebrew that I was meant to be. That's what Abraham was called. He was called a Hebrew. And he wasn't called a Hebrew until he separated himself. And the word Hebrew means to cross over. That's what it means, to cross over. And really what it probably means is to separate yourself. I'm going to look up that word in the scriptures, because a lot of times we go by these words in the concordance, and these are not definitions at all in the concordance. That's what a lot of people don't know. These are not definitions, defining words. These are just words that they say it could translate into from the Hebrew. That's why when you look up a Hebrew word in a concordance, it will have various words that it can mean. And many of the words are a total contradiction of Yahweh's word. But we're talking about our cultural identity. And you want to see our cultural identity, how we raise our children. When do we start teaching our children? What are we to wear? What type of fabrics did we wear? What did we eat? How did we eat? These are all the things that you really, really want to know. Because we're a family. Show you what the scriptures say in the book of Zephaniah. Turn there. In the book of Zephaniah, or make that Zechariah, the 12th chapter. In the book of Zechariah, the 12th chapter, this is when Yahweh will seek to destroy all the nations. And look what it says, what will happen. And we're going to start reading the 8th verse. In that day shall Yahweh defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as Elohim, as the angel of Yah before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Of course, they say JC was the one that was pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourner for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In other words, for all the people that Yahweh will destroy, and it will be so many, that according to the scriptures, it will take 7 years just to bury the dead. So it'll be a great slaughter. But look what will happen. Show you the type of heart Yahweh has and the type of heart that he will put in our people. And why? Because this is our cultural identity that you're about to read. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadadrimon in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart. A lot of people ask me, well, why do the men sit on one side and why do the women sit on the other side? That's because during the time of gatherings, especially gatherings that bring all the people together, Yahweh desired that we be separate. Even in mourning, even though people don't do it, read that again in the 12th verse. And the land shall mourn every family apart, the house of David apart, and their wives apart. The family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart. The family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart. The family of Shemaiah apart, and their wives apart. All the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. In other words, as I stated before, what Yahweh desire and how Yahweh see us is as a family. A family is a house. A house is a family. And mourning was important to our family. This is why in the scriptures, you read about us mourning for 30 days. Because that's what a family do. Right now, we can't do nothing like that. Because why? Because we're subject to other people in captivity. So we go by their rules and regulations. But if we were self-reliant and we did our own and we buried our own dead, in which we don't do, then we mourn how long we want to mourn. We bearing our own dead. We taking care of our own. We're responsible for our own. And why? Because bless those that bless thee, and curse those that curse thee. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed in thee. And who is thee? Israel. These are some of the things that we're bringing to you so you can understand our cultural identity. Our cultural identity, our cultural ID originates with building a house. That's the first step. And to build that house, we first must learn what a house is. And a house is not just a building. A house is a cultural way of life. Look unto that rock from whence you are hewn, and the hole of the pit in which you were digged. And you're going to find Abraham, and you're going to find Sarah, and you're going to find what they did. They trained their own. They taught their own. They raised their own. Where they went, their family went. And where they stayed, their family stayed. This is the chief thing that we must do, which is the number one thing that we must do to understand our cultural identity. Tomorrow, we will deal with the very second thing that we must do, and that is plant ye vineyards. And there's a lot of things that you need to know about planting. And planting a vineyard is not just for wine, as they do in modern times. No, we plant gardens for self survival, and a host of other things in which we're going to bring to you on Nothing But the Truth. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
To you, my Yahdu, I lift up my soul. And trust in you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause.